Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.
Thank you for joining me here for another edition of Frat House Saturdays on the Fan Junkies Radio Network. I'm your host, Frat House Mike, and momentarily I will be bringing to you the audio version of 5 Minutes at the Frat House number 75, which aired yesterday over on YouTube. Excuse me. But before we get to that, there are a couple of things I wanted to do. First of all, there are a couple of hockey games that are going on right now, and I thought perhaps maybe I'd just give you a quick update on those. Right now, at the end of the second period, the Flyers are leading the Hurricanes 3-2. The hold on, let me get my numbers back up here again. The Penguins and the Devils right now are skating to a 1-1 tie in the third period. The Oilers and the Red Wings right now are at the end of the first period, and that score is 0-0. And the same is true with the Jets and the Senators, tied 0-0 at the end of one period. And as we go through the hour and a half that I'm going to have with you here, I'll be bringing you updates as we go on those games. The other thing that I wanted to do before we actually jump into giving a listen to, as I said, the audio side of 5 Minutes at the Frat House. Live radio, it's wonderful. And there are so many reasons why it is wonderful. You just never know what you're going to get. And, well, sometimes it can be a bust, and then sometimes you can get a real gem. Sometimes you get things that you just don't honestly expect. And that kind of happened to Jonathan Regis and I yesterday on our regular Friday episode of Fan Junkies Radio. Yes, Fan Junkies Radio, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with Jonathan Regis and myself right here at 12 noon Eastern time until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Jonathan and I did an entire Major League Baseball preseason week this week. Monday we had on former Met and former Phil Eric Vallette. Wednesday we had a roundtable of analysts that just kind of broke the entire Major League Baseball down for the upcoming season. And then yesterday we closed out Major League Baseball preseason week with former player and former catcher, Major Leaguer Kelly Stinnett. Kelly Stinnett played 14 seasons for 8 different teams. And as I said, he was a catcher for most of those that he played. The interview it went about 23 minutes in length, and for most of it, it was rather, as I wrote up later on for a number of the blog sites that I write for, as I wrote up regarding the interview, it started out as rather pedestrian. Jonathan and I were asking about his career in Major League Baseball, and we were talking to him about some of the things that he's doing right now. He's doing a lot of work in youth sports in Arizona, youth baseball. He has a nonprofit organization there. And we were asking about some of those types of things, what his outlook was for Major League Baseball for this upcoming season, who he thought some of the favorites were, and that sort of thing. Near the end of the interview, however, I began to question him because Kelly Stinnett played from 1994 until 2007. For any of you that are thinking about that, you might recognize that that was at least a good portion of the early part of his career was at the height of what is now become known as the steroid era. And with all of the conversations and controversies that have been surrounding all types of sports, but particularly baseball, I had to ask him about PED usage and what his outlook was on that. And he gave us some rather surprising comments. And what I'd like to do is I'm going to bring you just what I think are It's about an 8-minute snippet, but I got to tell you, you know, Jonathan and I now have been doing this show for over 5 months, and this has got to be some of the most powerful radio that I have ever heard. Very, very frank responses coming from Kelly Stinnett. Very honest responses. I applaud him for that. And really, really tremendous stuff. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw out the phone number right now, 347-237-5373. Because if after you hear this particular clip, if you care to give me a holler or call in, make some comments about it, I'd be more than happy to take your calls on it for a couple of moments prior to our actually getting to the rebroadcast of 5 Minutes at the Frat House. But I thought it was appropriate to start the show off with these powerful comments from yesterday's Fan Junkies Radio. This is Kelly Stinnett and Jonathan Regis and myself yesterday afternoon. Let me throw one at you, and I'm thrilled to hear that you're working with so many young people. And there's a reason I'm going to bring this one up. We just had the story come out last week, and here we go again with PED usage. We got the clinic down there in Florida, and I don't even think at this point yet we've scratched the surface on what this might all mean. You played at the height of the steroid era. I guess really the big height of it, I guess, was 98, 99, somewhere in there, the year that McGuire hit 70 home runs. First of all, I guess the question I would ask you is this. Going back to that era, how prevalent was it to you as a player? That's number one. Number two, how do you feel about what's happening right now? And then number three, how are we dealing with it with the young people today?
Well, I think it's kind of with the young people, you know, we emphasize, hey, just, you know, you're right, get your workouts in. You know, it's kind of a joke sometimes now to young guys. So, you know, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But hopefully it's like, okay, it's a joke to where I'm not going to do that. You know, when I played, it was more, you know, you knew who was taken. You kind of, well, you say, you know, you kind of, okay, I think he's doing it, what have you. You know, it was, you know, it was one of those things. You know, you just go about your business. I know I wasn't doing it. I just wore my butt off 6 o'clock every morning going lifting weights. Probably wouldn't be talking to you now if I did because, you know, I'd be off in a desert island somewhere because they hit 40 or 50 home runs every year, you know, instead of my 10 to 15. But, you know, that's the choices we make. You know, I like the direction they're going, you know, clean it up. You know, I think there ought to be stiffer penalties now. You know, what's... you know, one time, you know, two times, whatever, you know, we need to make it a little stiffer. We need to penalize these guys down the road, too. Like, yep. You know, I'm a couple years away from collecting my pension. You know, we need to hit these guys down the road, you know, further. Because you get away with it, you know, like Melky got that big deal for Toronto. I mean, that's a joke, really, in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, he got busted. Now he's in this thing, and he got $17 million for having one good year. I mean, that's, you know, to some of the guys that bust their butt every day and done it the right way, that's not fair because he's taking money out of somebody else's pocket that did it the right way. So that's one thing that irritates me as a former player and current, you know, just a fan of the game. You know, why let this guy keep going? Let's do something to these guys down the road to, you know, take money out of their pocket, you know, penalize them because, you know, obviously you look back all the catches that done it, you know, it irritates me as well because I know these guys took money out of my pocket, you know, during my playing days. So, But you live with it, you deal with it, and you just keep plugging along.
You know, I know that there's a bit of a fraternity that goes on with players and former players. Let me ask you with regard to, say, Hall of Fame status. You know, we're seeing the influence right now this year on the whole steroid era and how that's influenced the Hall of Fame. Should some of these guys just not be, when you talk about penalties and what have you, should the penalties be that you just can't get into the hall?
I mean, that could be one. That would be a great one right there. And like you said, you see it this year. You know, anybody with any kind of tainted playing career or associated or that was verbally say, hey, I did them, you know, keep them out. You know, it's just a cut and dry thing. Just no, you know, you did it. You don't go to Hall of Fame.
OK.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, Mike, you know what? We said it ourselves, you know, to us, with this Hall of Fame ballot this year, the guys being on it that were on it, the Maguires, the Bonds, the Palmeros, they squeezed a lot of votes away from guys like Fred McGriff, Dale Murphy, guys that should have got in this season. You know?
Absolutely.
So it's a real shame.
Exactly.
Really is a real shame.
Yeah. All right. Unfortunately, a trickle-down effect.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's hurting a lot of people that deserve to be in there, you know, and especially, like Kelly said, it hurt a lot of people that deserve to make some type of money, and it's taking it out of their pockets. It's a real shame.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, why not just don't even put the names on the ballot anymore? I mean, that's, you said there's a trickle-down effect. Let's just not even put them on there, and that way people, the voters, are focused on the guys that did it the right way.
Yeah.
You know, if there's any kind of evidence that you've done it or you admitted to doing it, just nix you off the ballot and let's move on.
Well, let me say this to you, Kelly. From a fan perspective and from an analyst perspective, somebody in the media, I appreciate your refreshing response to that as a former player. I'm concerned sometimes when I bring these types of issues up to former players, that, again, like I said, there's that kind of fraternity where everybody's just going to back everybody, and I appreciate you being honest on it.
Well, I mean, you try. I mean, just like I tell the kids every day, I said, hey, I'm going to give my honest opinion, my honest evaluation of you, because I want you to get better. You know, and there's no, you know, everybody knows by now who had a pretty good idea of who juiced during those days. So, you know, it's kind of cut and dry. And, you know, maybe you call me a bitter old guy. I mean, you have, I guess, let the fans get around Reggie Jackson and some of those guys that played. You're talking about guys that, you know, will lay it on the line and let you know what they think. You know, you got to respect that. And that's where I want to be is, hey, you know, this is the way it is. Let's do it this way. Let's clean it up, get it going right. That way, you know, we don't have to worry about this down the road. My kids don't have to worry about this when they start, you know, getting that age where they have a chance to play at that level.
Excellent.
Hey. Yeah, really refreshing. Okay. Kelly, seriously, man, you know, thank you so much for, you know, not only joining us today, but, you know, telling us and saying the comments that you said today. It's really nice to hear a former professional athlete come out and say stuff like that, because that's stuff that we need to hear, and it's stuff that we're not hearing on an everyday basis, unfortunately.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
It really
is.
No,
I mean, yeah, obviously during the years, I mean, it's not, you know, you've had a lot of great teammates. You've been in a lot of battles or a lot of games with these guys, and, you know, you respect them on the field and all that stuff, but, you know, the way you go about it, you know, it's, you know, you choose your path, and if you did it the wrong way, you should pay. If you did it the right way, you know, you should be somewhat rewarded. So that's just the way I see it.
Great, great, awesome. Well, Kelly, seriously, thank you so much for joining us today and taking the time out of your schedule. I know you probably could have been patching some holes in nets today instead of talking to us.
No, I appreciate you guys giving me a break. I appreciate it. No.
we thank you for being on.
Hey, no problem, guys. Anytime, just let me know what I can do for you guys in the future.
That's great.
Save you, man. Thanks so much, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Unbelievable, man. Just comments that really just ring out when you hear them, you know.
Can I tell you, I'm sitting here, and when he made some of the comments that he did, my jaw's almost dropping.
Yeah.
Because as I pointed out, and I don't want anybody to get the impression that, you know, I was kissing his tail or anything. I wasn't. I'm truly amazed that the guy was being as forthcoming and as honest as he was, because the thing that you hear so often is that fraternity kind of speak that goes on amongst the players. It doesn't matter whether you were a clean player or a guy that was, as he's saying, juicing. They all seem to have each other's back.
Yeah,
and God bless him for being straight up about it. I think it's terrific.
Well, what we got from Kelly Stinnett today on Fan Junkies Radio is what we got from Kelly Stinnett in his 14-year Major League Baseball career, and that was real.
Honesty.
Yeah, it was honesty. It was real. It was hardworking, legit play. And what you had here today was hardworking, legit comments coming out of a clean player. And it's just, as you said, Mike, refreshing to hear that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was just, without a doubt, some of the most powerful radio I've ever, I can remember, well, I've ever personally been, associated with. I didn't expect, I was asking questions about PED usage, and I really, really kind of expected that I was going to get the same old kind of responses that you hear from so many professional athletes. I did not expect to hear Kelly Stinnett coming in and, I mean, sounding angry about it, as I think many, many true, clean fans are about sports and about PED usage. He was angry. He was angry not just as a former player. He was angry not just as somebody that was in the game, but obviously angry as a fan, like many, many, many of us are. And so I, you know, I'll open up the phones for a couple of minutes here. 347-237-5373. Give me a holler if you want to chime in. If you want to, you know, if you were as impressed with the comments that you heard there, that as you heard, obviously I was at the end of it. I was just totally, totally shocked. That a former player would come out and actually say the types of things that he did. And don't get me wrong, not shocked in a bad way, shocked in a very, very positive way. I think Kelly Stinnett, you know, very, very honest individual, said exactly what all of us feel, you know, many, many, many times. And again, so 347-237-5373, if you want to make a comment on that, prior to our getting to the replay of 5 minutes at the Pratt House number 75. I do have a call here, so let me bring this one in. I think I know who this is, and my guess is that I've got Mark on the line. Mark, you there?
Yeah, how you doing, brother?
All right, well, man. What do you think of all that stuff?
Very, 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 very powerful and real stuff from a guy on a big stage. I mean, on a big stage, and boy, did he sound somewhat bitter.
Yep.
His quote, "We got to hit these guys somewhere down the road," I think is the only, that's the only answer. And I have to agree with him, because we see these guys going through a major league career, getting millions and millions of dollars in contract renewal and endorsement monies. And they're coming out basically thumbing their nose at the fans and the league on the back end of their career, saying, "Hey, oh well, I juiced. Hey, I'm done. What can you do? I'm untouchable now. I'm not in the game." Boy, oh boy, is he right on the money with that one. And I'd like to hear what other MLB people think, wherever their fandom comes from.
Absolutely.
So this guy is absolutely right. I don't know if that has to go through a CBA, and there has to be some language about this, but to get to the heart of the matter, they really need to address the steroid and PED issue right where the player is living today. And he's right. How do you reward the ones that did well, did the right thing, but didn't have a Hall of Fame career? They just get under the carpet. It's really, really sad. I mean, these journeyman players like Kelly Stinnett, his voice should be loud and clear. People should hear him.
And, you know, the thing that I find very, very disappointing, and particularly, you know, in the aftermath, the following days, you know, after this past couple of weeks ago when the Hall of Fame, you know, they couldn't come up with any names whatsoever. There weren't enough votes to put anybody into the Hall of Fame this coming season. And I heard so many analysts, so many former sports figures, so many former athletes, so many talking heads on radio stations, on sports talk radio, say, you know something? Why are we making a big deal about the steroid era? Look, they were all doing it. Just leave it alone. You know, who cares? Fans don't care. I heard this from numerous sports talk people that fans don't care if their players are juiced, if they are using performance enhancement drugs. I disagree. I think fans do care. And I think that that's, you know, it's just absolutely wrong. I think it's absolutely wrong. And I find it very, very disheartening when I hear analysts making statements like that. Just don't worry about it. Just let them in. Just let them in. I mean, you know, just forget about it. Leave it all alone. Turn your head the other way. You know, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And God bless Kelly Stinnett and his comments. I truly, truly appreciate it.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, the other argument I heard through this last period of voting was that the majority ballot vote requirement was just way too high. It was way too high. Therefore, for all the right reasons, we couldn't settle on picking appropriate players. And I think that marries right into the point you just made, and that is, you know what, if you took out the six or seven names that completely diffused the voting process, you would have certainly had a Hall of Fame class for this current year.
No doubt about it.
To go, that deserved to go in and be recognized for their accomplishment instead of sitting back and saying, well, try again next year. I think it's a real disappointment to the sport, to the fans, to the players. Absolutely. It's a disgrace, dude.
Make no mistake. The voting percentage has not been high in years past. We've been able to get candidates into the Hall of Fame in years past. I think when Jonathan and I first talked about this on the air a couple of weeks ago after it occurred, I think there have only been two other times besides this year that, for all intent and purpose, the jury was deadlocked, that there was no way that they could possibly get anybody in. So this is a rarity that this occurs. Why did it occur? The thing that Jonathan and I talked about, and we brought it up even yesterday again, it taints those that probably should have gotten in, the Fred McGriffs, the Murphys, those types of guys that, and they all seem to get lumped in together with these guys. And that's the unfortunate part, is that there are guys that are actually getting, that are guilty by association because you happen to be in that same group.
The same class, exactly.
You know, the Mike Piazza's. I'm not sure whether Piazza used or not. He has claimed he has. He definitely did not. All right? I take him at his word. I've never heard his name come up in any kind of congressional hearings. I never heard his name come up necessarily in any kind of stories or investigations. So, therefore, I take him at his word. But what happened to Piazza? He got lumped into that group. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is. And again, I just one final time, I have to hammer that home. Kelly Stinnett's right on the money. There has to be something, in his words, down the road to make sure that these guys, and he said, you kind of knew who they were, although you weren't really, talking about it. You're minding your own business, doing your own thing, getting up at 6 a.m. and hitting the weight room. But you knew who they were. Something has to be done down the road to say, okay, yeah, you did it. You got one over on us. But you know what? From here out, you are out. All the way out.
Yeah.
You don't get a home run.
All right, Matt. Good.
Great stuff, dude. Great stuff. I hope other people call in. Folks, if you're out there and you're listening, don't hesitate. This man here, right here, that's your host, is great to talk to. Very knowledgeable guy, as is his partner, Jonathan. You do a hell of a job, both of you guys. I'm going to let you go. I want to hear the rebroadcast in 5 minutes.
You got it, man.
Thanks
for your calls. Thanks for your comments.
Yeah, great stuff. Great, great stuff. Keep that going.
All righty, man.
All right, dude.
See you. 347-237-5373. That's the number to climb in. And if you've got any comments at all about what you just heard from yesterday's live Fan Junkies Radio, Kelly Stinnett on there. I don't want to say he was throwing teammates under the bus, but he certainly had some very, very honest comments about PED usage during his time and during today's time and how it's affecting things like Hall of Fame status. So if you've got any comments, make sure you throw them out there. Give me a holler. Let me know. I'll be taking calls after the rebroadcast of 5 minutes at the Pratt House as well. Let me just explain to you for a moment, as I have done. We're still a fairly new show. We've only been on the air here on Saturdays for the last 6 weeks or so. 5 minutes at the Pratt House is a video production, folks. For all intent and purpose, it's a television show, and you can see it. And sometimes it's absolutely worth seeing. Because while I am going to play you just the audio side of it from this past week with myself and Sidekick from right here at the Pratt House, you're going to sometimes you miss a few things if you don't actually see the video production. And so what you can do is you can get to the video in a number of different ways. You can go over to YouTube, type in 5 minutes at the Frat House. You'll get all of them. And as I said, we've been on the air now for 75 straight weeks. Or you can go over to our website, which is frathousesports.net, frathousesports.net, and you can find all of the productions over there as well. They're housed over on our website. So it's YouTube, 5 minutes at the Frat House, or go over to frathousesports.net. The other thing I would encourage you to do as well, jump over to our Facebook page, all right, the Facebook page. And to find that, you would, off your Facebook page, just type in, search in, the Frat House hyphen Eagleville, and you'll find our Facebook page, which we update. I put posts up there just this morning. It's all sports, all the time, all teams. It makes no difference. We don't care whether you like the Yankees or the Angels or the Texas Rangers. It makes no difference to us. Jump on that, make a comment, post something. It's a lot of fun. We try to keep you up to date with the latest, really important, imperative news. So jump over to that as well. Facebook, the Frat House hyphen Eagleville. All right. Okay, what I'm going to bring it to you right now, Frat House number 75, the audio version of the Frat House with myself and Sidekick. And in this one, we're going to do a little Super Bowl postmortem, And, we really get into quite a conversation about Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco, is he an elite quarterback? And I'll tell you, I'd love to hear from some of you out there. I'm sure folks down in Baltimore, they probably think he's an elite quarterback. But what if you were, let's say you're out in the Midwest. Do you think he's an elite quarterback? Maybe you're up there in Tom Brady country. Do you think Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback? I'd be more than happy to take your calls on that after the rebroadcast of this. 347-237-5373, and that's how you would call in. You can call in at any time during the course of the rebroadcast. I'm not going to take the calls at that time. I'll take them when the rebroadcast is completely finished. But what do you think about that? So we talk a little bit about, we do a postmortem on the Super Bowl. And then we go in and we take a look at the NCAA standings as we stand right now. Hey, think about this one, folks, for all of you that might be basketball fans. We got 3 weeks right now to conference tournaments. And we got about 5 weeks at this point right now until we are heavy into the NCAA tournament. Gosh, I love it. I love the NCAA tournament. I love college basketball. We get into a little bit of that. We take a look at the NBA and where that stands at this point. And we also take a look at the NHL as well. And when I come back, after you hear the rebroadcast of 5 Minutes to Frat House, I will give you an update on those NHL scores. I'm just looking over my shoulder right now, and I see that the Hurricanes and the Flyers right now are tied at 3-3 with about 4 minutes left in the third period, and that's not good for the Flyers because, they're not a very good shootout team if that thing happens to go to overtime. So I'm sure by the time I come back, that game will probably be concluded. Let me right now at this point, however, play for you this past week's 5 Minutes at the Frat House, number 75. Now our post NFL season of 5 Minutes at the Frat House with Frat House Mike and Sidekick. And it occurred to me when I say post NFL season, when you think about it, since our whole season started, that's all we talked really has been the NFL.
Right.
We're going to talk some NFL again tonight, but this will probably be, I say that now. We'll see. There'll be stories that'll come up, but we'll talk a little NFL, but that's kind of in the post mortem respect of it. We'll be talking some NFL. But, now we're going to start jumping into a whole bunch of other sports as we start moving forward over the next number of weeks. And I don't know if you gave this any thought at all, but, and I think you did bring it up, actually, pre-show, this is our 75th
yes.
consecutive show. 75th
yep.
consecutive 75 weeks in a row. And wow, now it's just a matter of us counting down to 100, which really isn't all that far away. That's just a couple of weeks away when you start to think about it. But let's go over.
We'll probably be talking preseason football about that time.
Yes, we would be. Exactly right.
Training
camp. In fact, yeah, that's the kind of guy I am. I actually did map out when would 25 weeks from now be. Hey, but let's go over and let's talk a little NFL football because we just came off the really big game this past Sunday. The 47th playing of the Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens going up against the San Francisco 49ers. And for the most part, I thought it was very entertaining. I thought it was quite a good game, Sidekick. What was your overall impression of the game? Without necessarily getting into anything specific, what was your overall impression of it? I thought it was a good game.
I thought it was a great game. It was back and forth.
Yep.
You had comebacks. I thought it was one of the better Super Bowls in recent years.
I agree.
It was competitive.
I wouldn't say it was the best, but I thought it was one of the better ones. I mean, it certainly kept our attention, and I don't know how you could have sat if you're a sports fan, if you're a football fan, I don't know how it wouldn't have kept your attention.
Yeah. I could have done without the Calvin Klein ad or it being played five or six times.
Yeah, true enough.
But you know.
Or the GoDaddy commercial.
Yeah, that was a little disturbing.
I'll tell you what. Before we jump into it, let's start breaking it down into some more specifics before we get into more conversation. And let's break down the game a little bit just to kind of to fulfill my need to feed my stats addiction, huh? Ultimately, the Ravens held on late into the fourth quarter. They held on late into the fourth quarter to win their second Super Bowl. Their first in 12 years. By just a field goal, they won it 34-31. So much talk after the fact of Joe Flacco, who went 22 of 33, 287 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 124.2 QB rating. Two other big stars, though, for the Ravens, you have to point out, had to be Anquan Boldin with 6 receptions, 104 yards, and a touchdown. And, of course, we can't miss out on Jacoby Jones. Who had 5 kick returns for 206 yards, but the biggest of those was the 108-yard return for a touchdown at the very beginning of the second half.
Yep.
Now, 108
which tied,
yards.
Tied an NFL
it
record.
It was tied, or I thought I had heard during the game, I said, is that a record? It tied it, or was it
originally
9?
The record was 108.
Okay.
They initially gave him credit for 109
on the
kickoff return, and then they came back and they said it's only 108, which tied the record.
Okay. I mean, it was thrilling. It truly was a thrilling opening of the second half. And that TD at that particular time put the Ravens up 28-6, and it really looked like at that particular time like the 49ers had just had their lights put out.
Yep, literally.
And that's exactly what happened because it was shortly after Jones's kickoff return that 34-minute power outage at the Superdome in New Orleans.
Insert any number of jokes at this stage.
Oh my goodness!
Twitter was
no one has given anybody a clear, satisfactory answer as to what exactly occurred at that. You've heard so many different things that. It was the halftime show with Beyonce, but then I heard, well, no, they brought in their own generators, their own power supply, so it had nothing to do with that. No one's given a satisfactory answer as to what happened, but I remember sitting here, and, you know, I think for the average fan, I don't think we really cared, did we? Did anybody really care? Although I thought it was kind of a black eye on New Orleans.
Well, it did get a little... boring?
Yeah.
I mean, for half an hour I was on Twitter and I was just, you know, just reading out Twitter jokes, you know.
Right.
And that was funny, but I really would have liked getting back to the game.
Yeah.
And I think that blackout helped San Francisco get back in the game because up to that point, once the power came back on and they played,
mm-hmm.
Baltimore's offense and the Niners' defense had not been on the field together for 70 minutes,
mm-hmm.
which obviously allowed San Francisco
over 80 when they somebody
you know, so you had the opportunity for San Francisco's defense to rest, and it, you know, gave time for Flacco and Baltimore's offense to kind of tighten up and and that. So, and I think that's what you saw happen then, because San Francisco came out of the gate and just start, you know, they were stopping Baltimore, and they're, you know, Kaepernick was just firing off.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad you brought that up, that very fact, because many, many have contended that the power outage actually benefited the 49ers. I, for one, on Fan Junkies Radio on Monday, said I didn't think it really would have made any difference, and I'll get into that in one moment. But once the power did ultimately come back, as Sidekick just pointed out, San Francisco proceeded to run up 17 unanswered points and made it a game by the end of the third quarter, 28-23. Now, when you take a look at the 49ers game, really, they had a much more balanced offensive attack, 286 yards passing, 182 yards on the ground. However, only 62 yards rushing for Kaepernick. And I guess my question to you, let me throw it at you real quick here. My question to you with regard to Kaepernick, had he run more, would that have made any difference in this game at all, do you think?
You know, but we talked about it, you know, in our analysis of, you know, pre-Super Bowl.
Yep.
And that's an X, that's always an X factor.
Yep.
I don't know if involving, you know, getting him on more designated run plays would have opened up their offense anymore or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes, you know, they are designated run plays for him. And then sometimes it's just busted plays where he takes off.
Right.
So,
yes.
Now, granted, I think Baltimore's defense came in looking at that and kept him from having those breakdown play scrambles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't see a lot of that. So, and then we saw some runs in the second half, which makes me think that they started putting some designated runs in there.
What you make, and I'm going to throw this in. Boy, you're leading me right into all my observations here.
Well, that's, yeah.
Two that I know, you're thinking, read my mind. Two observations that I want to make about this particular game. Two things that kind of jumped out to me. Not only as I was watching the game, but even there after the fact on Monday as I was doing the analysis and looking through the box scores and what have you in preparation for Fan Junkies Radio. With all the talk of the defenses on both teams, how good these two defenses were on both teams, I was generally unimpressed with both of them. That's number one. And the second big stat that jumped out to me, I jumped off the page when I was looking and analyzing this game, third down conversions. 9 of 16 for the Ravens, 2 of 9 for the 49ers. Now, when you talk about the defense and you talk about Kaepernick, I don't know what your sense was. I don't know if you came away with the same kind of feeling I did where you were, you know, I'm not saying they were bad. I just expected more from both defenses. I think Kaepernick could have run the ball a little more effectively, particularly in the first half, and I think that was a missed opportunity because I didn't think that the defense was playing quite as
right.
well.
And I think they could have run it a little bit more in the first half, or, you know, with Kaepernick running it in the first half. And I thought there'd be more from the defenses as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that could also be could have been a kind of mutual respect kind of thing, you know, between the two defenses. Because
right.
these were two heavy, hard-hitting defenses.
Right.
And I was surprised there was not more hard hits and that. So, you know, like you said, I was a little bit, I don't know if I'd use the word unimpressed, but, you know, maybe a little bit surprised that the defenses weren't as big a role in the game. Well, okay, let me back up. Baltimore's in the first half. Specifically in the first quarter, I thought was excellent because they were handling the Niners' offense.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the first drive they were in negative yards. So I think at the first quarter, I think the Ravens' defense did play up to par.
Okay.
But I think overall, looking back at the games, both defenses, you know,
two words. Ray Lewis's play. Give me two words.
To be honest, I sat here with my Ray Lewis jersey. You didn't even know the guy was in the game.
He had a whopping total of 7 tackles.
Yep.
Okay, 4 of them solo. That was it. You know, I think a lot of us were looking that as Ray Lewis went, that's how that defense was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And as we saw, Lewis was really not a part of it, and that's where I think a lot of people came away saying, unimpressed with the Baltimore defense. Not unimpressed, again, not saying that they were bad, just not what we expected them to be.
Right.
I think the other big difference...
But you know who stepped up, though? Ellerbe.
Yes.
I think it's Ellerbe.
Yes. Reed with his interception.
Yes, Reed's interception, but I think, you know, because you were constantly hearing about Ellerbe stuffing the run, and
yep.
So, you know, I think he stepped up, and he was, you know, he was the guy.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying either defenses were horrible or were bad. No, they weren't. But I don't think a 34-31 score is what we expected from two of the stellar defenses in the NFL.
There's something screwy around here.
I think that third down conversion, though, was telling, too, as well. I mean, when you've got a team going 9-16 and the other side's going 2-9, that's a telltale sign right there that something wasn't quite right with the 49ers offense, particularly early on.
Anyhow,
from here at the Frat House, we want to send congratulations out to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
As I pointed out, their second Super Bowl in 12 years. And specifically to congratulations to their fans, who I know are very, very happy down there in the Baltimore area.
I give you our
there
champion!
You there you have it. Now, before we leave the NFL for this season, Sidekick, you and I kind of called it here last week a little bit, as we kind of insinuated that, well, Joe Flacco might just be MVP. And sure enough, Joe Flacco got MVP for the Super Bowl. I guess, is it MVP for the playoff season, or is it just for the Super Bowl? It's for the season.
Super.
Okay, for the playoff season.
Just
the Super Bowl. Okay.
Yep.
But that didn't come as a surprise to me, and I don't think it came as a surprise to anybody else, as I just had listed his stats. No interceptions, what have you. And I think that the whole no interception thing had a lot to do with the decision on that. I think that was a big determinant. However, in the past few days, we've been hearing a word thrown around that I got to get your feel on. And that word is elite. Suddenly Joe Flacco is being propelled and elevated up to the elite status.
This was it's awesome. How far you've come.
This is something I don't know if I brought it up last week or not, but I know that I brought it up recently. This was something that Eli Manning was saying at the beginning of last season. You know, he was self-proclaiming himself as being, you know, he thought he was an elite quarterback. And that was before he had won his second Super Bowl at the end of last season.
Well, let me stop you there.
Go ahead.
There's a little bit of a difference between the media and the fans proclaiming someone to be elite or trying to give that tag, and someone proclaiming that they are elite.
Okay, I got you there.
LeBron James, Eli Manning.
yeah, right. I got you. Chris Bosh, as Jonathan and I talked about on Fan Junkies Radio. No, I understand what you're saying. And so therefore, okay, good. I'll discount that one a little bit. But let's hang the elite tag for a moment on Joe Flacco. Really? Is this an elite quarterback, seriously?
Well, you know, that's always a great debate topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what constitutes elite? Is it the number of, you know, is it Super Bowl wins?
Mm-hmm.
Is it stats during the season? You know, you have quarterbacks like Dan Marino.
Is that elite?
Is Dan Marino considered elite? He has no Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about elite quarterbacks, you know, some people put Dan Marino in there.
Uh-huh.
So it's really subjective.
So this is very, very subjective, I was going to say. Okay, so this is a very subjective thing.
So
when we're hearing the word elite being thrown around in the media, we should discount it. We should discount it because, I mean, it's subjective. That might be that one the talk show person or one anchor person making that statement and not generally what?
Sure, because I'm sure if you ask any Baltimore Ravens, a majority of Baltimore Ravens fans, if they think Joe Flacco's elite, they're going to tell you he's elite.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. I think if you got analytical Baltimore fans, they might step back and say, well, no, he's a very good quarterback, and we'll take what we got. But elite is a characterization.
Well, I'm saying,
if you
walk down the streets in Baltimore,
yes,
and you ask the
they're going to be running high right now, obviously.
You know, yeah. And that's what I mean by that. If you ask the average Joe fan, I think you'll find a majority of their fan base is going to say he's elite. There's always going to be people that are critical.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What do you say?
I do not believe we've seen enough for me to put him in the elite category yet. But here's where I will throw elite in. His performance during the playoffs this year was an elite performance.
Stellar.
I'm not ready
to stellar.
You know, I would call it elite. I would call his performance during this year's playoffs as elite, not the season, the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you hang the elite franchise tag on him? Yes.
But you certainly can't hang an elite career.
But I'm not going to hang, you know, I'm not going to put his picture up next to Tom Brady
or Joe Montana
or John Elway or, you know, or any of those guys yet.
Okay.
I'm kind of on the fence, honestly, about elite or Eli Manning. Even though he's got two rings, but I'm not totally bought into him being elite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, he's knocked off Tom Brady twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who is elite? But I'm not ready. I think he's on the cusp.
Okay, so Tom Brady is elite.
I will say Tom Brady is an elite quarterback.
Tom
as
Brady
much
is
as that
active,
pains
elite
me to say that,
quarterback.
He is
Peyton Manning, is he elite?
I believe
one Super Bowl.
I believe Peyton Manning is elite.
Peyton Manning is an active elite quarterback. Are there any others that are active right now in the NFL? Aaron Rodgers.
You know what? I would put the bar at Aaron Rodgers.
If it's not right there, it's darn close.
I think he's at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
Anybody, that's where the bar is. Anybody else?
If you put the bar there, then why are you throwing Eli in there with two Super Bowls?
Good question.
Uh-huh.
I think from a stats, and I obviously I don't have stats in front of me. I can't sit there and rip them off. But my personal opinion.
I know it's off a the, gut, off, isn't it? It's a gut.
Gut feeling is that I think Aaron Rodgers has been more consistent and, you know, shown more poise as a quarterback than Eli. I think Eli's just a little bit inconsistent at times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're the years they went to the Super Bowl, he was spot on. The years in between the Super Bowls and stuff, he's not been that good.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he may have a slow start to a season, but that guy, I mean, consistent every season. By the end of the season, his numbers are consistent.
Flacco wins the second Super Bowl. Elite?
I still put him with Eli Manning. I need to see a little bit more consistency out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he rides this wave that he had in his playoffs and he starts playing next season at a similar level, I'm not saying he has to have the new interceptions, but I think if he starts playing at the same level, then I think you can start saying elite. I think he's working his way towards that.
It's no secret that I've never been a big Joe Flacco fan. That's not to say that I think he's a bad quarterback. That's not to say that I think that I just generally don't like him. That's not it at all.
I think he's been
overrated. That's where I come down on it. If Joe Flacco wins the second Super Bowl, that's when I'm going to be sitting up. That's when I'm going to say, okay, maybe this guy is truly something special.
So that will change your mind then about Flacco, and
it would.
You'd be willing to at least partake in that conversation.
I would be willing to at least stop being as critical. Let's put it that way. Yes. Yes. I mean, at that point, at that point, then you really can't say that he's overrated. So I really don't have an argument any longer, because if my argument is that he's overrated, then I can't make that argument any longer. Not realistically.
Yeah. See,
and that's where I come down on it, folks. I really do try to be very, very objective, and I recognize what my argument is. I say Joe Flacco was a very, very, very good quarterback this postseason. He was very good, and so therefore I give him a lot of credit. Do it again. Now you'll hear a different frat house Mike talking about Joe Flacco.
But you'll never talk about Andy Dalton like that, ever.
Andy Dalton better start doing something. Or for me to talk about him at all. Before we jump completely
on... beautiful hair.
No, he doesn't. Let's jump over real quick right now. Before we leave football completely, we're going to jump over to our frat house Facebook post of the week. And it was our most viewed post of the week over on our frat house page. It got literally, I think it got hundreds of views. And it might be our last NFL one for a little while over there. It was a poll question that I put up and posed just 2 hours before the kickoff of the Super Bowl, asking who people were rooting for. And, some of our more creative fans, they added responses.
Yeah,
responses.
Who voted for National Cheesecake?
Yeah, the Puppy Bowl, MLB season to begin, and National Cheesecake Day. So I got to give it to some of our fans out there, I'm glad that they didn't identify themselves, because I might just have to ban you from the frat house page for wanting the Cheesecake Day over the Super Bowl, because then you're not a real sports fan.
But interestingly, though, the Niners had the most...
I know. I found that a little bit interesting, too. Although many people saw it, but not too many people participated. You got to participate in those things when I throw them up there, folks. Okay, listen. I just mentioned MLB, you know, Major League Baseball. Somebody mentioned that the Major League Baseball season's to begin. You know, it's a funny thing. The Super Bowl gets done. We're no sooner done with the Super Bowl on Monday, okay, the day after the Super Bowl, and suddenly everybody in sports, what are we turning our attention to? We're turning our attention to the South.
The one constant for all the years has been baseball.
And so we're turning to spring training, okay? And so let me bring you a countdown. Where are we at this point right now? Hey, how about 4 days to the opening of spring training, 15 days to exhibition games, and just 51 days to the season opener. And it sounds like a lot, but those days are going to fly. So,
I can't wait.
I would do yourself a favor. Don't be thinking about pending snowstorms or anticipated blizzards or threats of blizzards. Just turn your thoughts to the summer warmth of baseball. Turn to that.
You drop by my office.
Yeah, and we'll be hearing that guy shortly. We'll be hearing him shortly. Okay. Listen, now, before we get to the beginning of the baseball season, however, we got to get through one of my favorite times of the year. 3 weeks from now. You didn't roll your eyes. Okay. 3 weeks from now, we're going to be taking a look, and we're going to be watching the NCAA basketball conference tournaments. And then 5 weeks from now, which would just be 2 weeks after that, we'll be into the brackets. You're going to be into the brackets? You're going to get in the brackets? Mm-hmm. You're going to get in the brackets.
Oh,
and
get in the
brackets. NCAA tournament. And listen, when I say get into the brackets, we run a bracket kind of fantasy challenge thing here at the frat house, and everybody is invited to join in on that.
Yep.
And in order to do so, you got to be over on our frat house page, on our Facebook page, and be tuning into that over the next couple of weeks, and you'll be getting the notifications about it. But you gotta like the frat house Facebook page, and then you'll get the announcements about it.
Yep.
But in the meantime,
and you can watch Sidekick sit at the bottom as he does every year.
Don't be crying for him, because listen, NASCAR's coming. All right, NASCAR's coming. All right. In the meantime, I thought what we might do is we'll start taking a look at what the rankings are right now in the NCAA. These are the rankings as we know them as of right now. These were updated just 3 days ago, and sitting atop at number one, we've got Indiana, who took over the number one spot from Michigan last week. who was number one, and they dropped down. Michigan dropped down to number three. Number two, we've got Florida. Number four are my Duke Blue Devils. Number five, Kansas. Gonzaga hangs in the top ten, and they've pretty much been there really almost all season long. They're there at number six. Look at Miami right now, jumping all the way up to number eight from number 14, and OSU makes the top 10 as well. Interestingly, when you take a look at it, missing notables from this list, no North Carolina, no Kentucky, locally, no Villanova, no Temple, all right? So interesting things that could happen. Some of those, of course, hey, if they get lucky and win their conference tournament later on this month, well, then they get an automatic bye. But for the moment right now, none of those guys are on the list and probably wouldn't be going to the big dance. Teams that are in the top 25, though, interesting ones that were not ranked last week that actually made the list this week. Georgetown coming in at number 20. They were not ranked last week. Oklahoma State ranked currently number 22. Pittsburgh, this is their time of year. They're always coming on strong. Right at the end of the season, ranked number 23. They weren't ranked last week. And Notre Dame right now is coming in at number 25.
I was just going to say, and your favorite university, the University of Notre Dame, they're 25.
Number 25 they are, yes.
Yep.
Notre Dame will probably make the, I would think, would make the tourney. Absolutely. Okay, and we'll be bringing you the leaderboard as we go through the next couple of weeks right up until bracket time, all right? Let's stick on round ball. Let's stick on round ball, and let's stick with leaderboards, and let's go take a look at what's going on over in the NBA. And let me see if I can get that up there. Okay, let's go over and take a look at
NBA. That's what she said.
Let's go over and take a look at the NBA, as we did last week, over in the Atlantic Division. We got the New York Knicks leading the Atlantic Division 31-16. They are now three games in front of the Brooklyn Nets. Had a slightly better week this week. They are 7-3 in their last 10. In the Central Division, that's been going back and forth over the past couple of weeks as we've looked at it. The Indiana Pacers are now ahead of the Chicago Bulls again. 7-3 in their last 10. They're one game ahead of the Chicago Bulls in the Southwest.
And they're 20-3 at home. Another good home team.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, that's really what's been holding them up. That's, you know, I've been saying all year long, all season long, that I've been surprised at Indiana. And what's really been, you know, pushing them has been their home record. Good point. In the Southeast, Miami continues to lead over there. They are now six games ahead of the Atlanta Hawks. Is anybody really surprised? 8-2 in their last 10. Northwest, nothing's changed over in the Western Conference. In the Northwest, Oklahoma City, 37-12, six games in front of the Denver Nuggets. The L.A. Clippers, however, are starting to show a little bit of weakness. 3-7 in their last 10. Jonathan and I have been talking about them, thinking that, wow, what a tremendous L.A. Clippers team. Golden State, however, kind of faltered as well. They weren't able to make up any ground as the Clippers were losing. Right now, the Clippers are still four games ahead of Golden State. San Antonio is absolutely destroying anything in their path. They are 10-0 in their last 10, eight games in front of the Memphis Grizzlies.
And they've got an 11-game win streak. Holy cow.
They are absolutely anything in their way, they're just getting rid of. All right. Let's go take a look at what's going on ponds around the NHL league. You want to do that? You want to take a look at some ponds?
Oh, joy.
You want to do that?
I can't wait.
It's all a little chink in your armor today on the Facebook.
Come on. Okay. We're talking about,
game is tonight.
There are a few things that are my kryptonite that I cannot stay away from. Memes about the Red Wings.
Uh-huh.
Memes about the Cubs.
Uh-huh.
And anything about Tony Romo.
Okay, well.
So I had to crack.
That game is tonight. And you're telling me that once we're finished here, if I put that game on, you wouldn't sit and watch even 5 minutes of it.
Nope. The best you're getting out of me is a meme.
You're mean. You know that. You know you're just mean. Okay. Let's take a look at what's going on over in the NHL. And we've had quite a few division changes just this week. Well, let me go over and take a look at it. And I think you can expect to see a lot of division changes, particularly in this shortened season. We're going to see this, I think, over the next couple of weeks. Over in the Atlantic Division. Let me get my list up. Okay, over in the Atlantic Division. Yes, we did have a change. The Pittsburgh Penguins right now are leading that division. They are 1 point ahead of the Jersey Devils with a 7-3-0 record. In the North East Division, the Boston Bruins, 7-1-1, 2 points ahead of the Ottawa Senators. In the Southeast, Tampa Bay Lightning continue to lead there, 3 points ahead of the Winnipeg Jets. The Chicago Blackhawks, kind of like the San Antonio Spurs, wouldn't say they're quite that, but haven't lost a game yet this season. 8-0-2, 6 points ahead of the St. Louis Blues, who happen to be playing the Detroit Red Wings tonight.
Yep. National Punch Your Red Wings fan day.
There you go.
So how long till the Stanley
Cup? How can you go and punch one when you don't even watch the game yourself? That's a fraud.
I was just going to ask you how long to the Stanley Cup. But then, that's right, I don't care.
It's I gave those dates a couple of weeks ago, and you weren't listening. Yeah, you had your fingers in your ears. Over in the Northwest Division, we had a division change over there. The Vancouver Canucks now are leading that. They're 1 point ahead of the Edmonton Oilers.
Thought we were done.
And surprise, surprise, surprise. I don't think you can expect this. Don't expect this to stay the same. Over in the Pacific Division, the Anaheim Ducks right now lead the they're tied. They are tied right now with the San Jose Sharks, but right now the Anaheim Ducks have the tiebreaker in that. So they're technically ahead of the San Jose Sharks in the Pacific Division. And again, I think next week when we come back to it, or when I come back to it and when I report on it, because this guy won't say anything, or if he does, it'll just be, you know, sarcastic.
So, hey, actually,
I'm sure you'll see those.
Did you hear that Greg Williams got reinstated today?
Yes, I did.
And picked up by the Titans.
Yes, I did. I did hear that. How do you feel about that? Because you made a comment on the Facebook page about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good for the Titans.
All right.
Business about to pick up.
What kind of business? The money changing business.
Yeah.
All righty. That's our show for this week. Let's run around real quick. Fan Junkies. Get over to Fan Junkies, social media, where sports meets social media. Sign up completely free. Jump into their chat rooms. Jonathan's got the chat rooms open all the time for all the different hockey games, and there's probably a couple open there right now. Fan Junkies Radio, my gosh, it's been really a lot of fun this week. We're doing an entire MLB preseason week this week. We had Eric Vallette from the former Phillies and former Met on Monday. Tomorrow we got Kelly Stinnett, former player, catcher, on tomorrow. We had a roundtable yesterday on Wednesday. 2 weeks from now, we're going to have an entire NASCAR week. Every day, there'll be another NASCAR guest on in preparation for the Daytona 500. Fan Junkies Radio, check that out. It's going big. Almost 250,000 listeners so far. HerbFMSports.com. We're generally getting rebroadcast usually around 7 o'clock on Friday nights right now. This show, 5 minutes at the Pratt House. And Chris down there in Baltimore has been running our shows 2 and 3 at a time. So he might run like this one. He might run last week's. He might run the week before. And he's running them like 2 and 3 of them at a time. So you'll get a full hour out, sometimes an hour and a half. You got to check their schedule. It's HerbFM.com. CLW83. You can pick up the rebroadcast of 5 minutes at the Pratt House that I do on Saturday over on Fan Junkies Radio. And then last but not least, Pratt House Sports. I just put up a couple of new articles just this week. One of them, in fact, just on Major League Baseball. I just put that up last night, as a matter of fact. All right.
Awesome.
And if anybody wants to write for it, get in touch with me. I put you to work. Absolutely. Real quick. Real fast. All right. Full show. Wow. Full show. Be with us here next week. In the meantime, you know what you got to do. You got to keep us real, you got to keep us live, and you got to keep us going. We'll see you next week.
How satisfying is this for you personally? So many naysayers, so many critics about number 5.
I don't know if it has anything to do with that. It's just exciting because this is what you dream of as a football player for your whole life, is playing in this game and winning it. And nobody can ever take that away from us.
How much satisfaction do you get to win another one for Ray Lewis on the last day he puts on a Ravens uniform?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, we're all a team, and he's a very big part of it. And, you know, he wanted this just as much or more for us than he did for himself, and that's what makes it special. He wanted us to feel this, and you know, we wanted to make sure that he felt it again.
Joe, on this ride through the postseason, you have not thrown an interception. You've been perfectly efficient. What's been the key?
The key is we're coming together. We got a good offense. Our offensive line really played well. Our receivers just made some plays. I mean, Anquan, Dennis, Torrey, Jacoby, Ed Dixon today, our backs out of the backfield. So, you know, when you come together like that and you have confidence, this is what ends up happening.
All right, so there you have it. That was this week's edition of 5 Minutes at the Frat House, and I throw the question out to all of my listeners out there right now. Joe Flacco, elite or not elite? If you want to weigh in on that, the number to climb in on, 347-237-5373. All right, let me give the number again. It's 347-237-5373. As I promised, let me give you a quick update on some of the hockey games that are going on around the league right now. That Flyers and Hurricanes game, that is now a final. And the Flyers won that 4-2-3 in overtime with a Danny Briere goal in the five-minute overtime. The Devils and the Penguins, that is now a final. With the Devils coming out on top on that one, 3-2-1, they beat the Penguins. Right now, the Oilers and the Red Wings are tied at 1-1. That is in the third period, just in the very beginning of the third period, as are right now the Jets and the Senators. They are in the very beginning of the third period, and that game is tied at 0-0. So there is your NHL update at the moment. And there you have it. And there's a lot of NHL games on the schedule for the rest of the day into the early evening. A lot of NHL games on the schedule. Also, a lot of NCAA basketball games, as I pointed out at the top of the show. You know, we're starting to get to be NCAA basketball season now, and so therefore you're going to start hearing a lot more from me for sure on these Saturday afternoon shows. You're going to start hearing a lot more from me about the NCAA, and there's a lot of games on the schedule for later this afternoon and going into this evening. A lot of ranked teams, a lot of good college basketball viewing, if that's your kind of flavor. So we've got those kinds of things going on. The 5 Minutes at the Frat House that you just heard, again, I would encourage you, go over, take a look at the program over on YouTube. Go over and take a look at it at frathousesports.net. We've got them all over there as well. Also, make sure you get out to our Frat House Eagleville page on Facebook. All right, that's an easy one to do, folks. You just go over to Facebook, go in, type in the Frat House Eagleville, and give us a like. Give us a like, and you'll at that point, then you'll be up to date with everything you need to know that's going on with us here at the Frat House and with Frat House Sports and with Fan Junkies Radio and with everything that we're doing along those lines. The other thing that I would encourage you, please, if it's at all possible for you to do, tune in Monday, Wednesday, Friday as well to Jonathan Regis and myself right here at the Fan Junkies Network, where we bring you our regular Fan Junkies radio program. That's at 12 o'clock Eastern Time. We go until 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We frequently have guests on. We've got a whole lineup of things coming up for this coming week. Next week, we're going to have an entire NASCAR week going in and leading up into the Daytona 500 if motorsports happens to be your flavor, which, well, it's my flavor, but then some people would say, well, Mike, it seems like all sports are your flavor, and they are. So if that's your kind of thing, then you're going to want to be tuning in that week to Fan Junkies Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 12 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on Fan Junkies Radio Network. Jonathan and Brett have started up Wrestle Chat. That airs, I believe, at 2 o'clock on Tuesday afternoons, right here on the Fan Junkies Network. And you can get into that if wrestling is your thing. Make sure you're tuning in to Jonathan and Brett on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Alrighty, let me throw the number out there real quick one more time, and then if we get anybody calling in, I'll take your calls. Otherwise, I'll be wrapping things up here momentarily. 347-237-5373. If there's anything that you heard in the 5 minutes at the Frat House episode that perhaps maybe you want to weigh in on, maybe you want to weigh in on the clip that I played early at the top of the show of Kelly Stinnett from yesterday's Fan Junkies Radio, where he had some rather outspoken comments about PED usage. Perhaps maybe you want to make a comment about that, or you have something to say about it. I'd love to hear from you. 347-237-5373. How about this one? How about Joe Flacco? Is he elite? Is he an elite quarterback? You from Baltimore? If you're from Baltimore, I'd like to hear from you. Let me know. Do you think that Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback? Hey, if you're from Minnesota, do you think Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback? Because that was part of the debate that you just heard on the rebroadcast of 5 minutes at the Frat House. All righty. Fan Junkies Radio, fanjunkies.net, where sports meets social networking. Many of you probably remember the old look of Facebook. Many of us didn't like it when Facebook moved over to this whole timeline thing. Well, hey, you can get the best of the old Facebook look with a complete sports flavor, and it's completely free. Go over to fanjunkies.net. This is Jonathan's, this is Jonathan's things. He dreamed this up. It's a fantastic idea. It is Facebook made just for sports nuts like us. All of us. All right? You're not going to get any dramas on there. You don't get any stupid games. You're not getting game requests. You just simply get sports. And that's all we do over there is talk sports. Plus, Jonathan's got the chat rooms open all the time for hockey games that are going on or any other kinds of sports things that might be happening. He'll open up chat rooms, and so you can jump in on those as well, and it's a lot of fun. So fanjunkies.net, jump over to that and sign up. It's completely free. It won't take you more than just a couple of minutes to sign up for that as well. I want to thank our friends over at CLW83. I want to thank our friends like Jim Williams and Carl over there, who have been rebroadcasting these programs, all of the Fan Junkies shows, and all of the 5 minutes at the Frat House on Fan Junkies. I want to thank those guys for doing that as well. CLW83.com. They've got some terrific programming. You got to get over there, check out their programming, and tune into some of the productions and shows that they're putting on. And last but not least, I want to thank also my buddy Chris Heidel down at HerbFM.com. That's another one, HerbFM.com, where 5 minutes of the Frat House is being rebroadcast over there. Generally on Friday evenings at about 7 o'clock is when you can tune in to them right off your computer. All this stuff internet-based, isn't it wonderful? And you can tune in to them and get 5 minutes at the Frat House as well. Alrighty, that's our Saturday afternoon Frat House Saturdays here on the Fan Junkies Radio Network. And I want to thank you, as always, for tuning in. Look forward to being with you again next Saturday, and I will be bringing you another rebroadcast of 5 minutes at the Frat House at that point. In the meantime, here's what you got to do for me, and well, for those of you that are regulars and have been listening a long time, you know what that is. You got to keep us real, you got to keep us live, and you got to keep us going. I'll talk to you next week. See you then.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. We'll be right back. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.